Hey guys, this is Brent with the Finding Freedom podcast, and today I'm doing things a little bit different. I'm hosting my wife, Sabrina Woods, and we just want to come to you and talk to you about the struggles of being a new parent, a new mom, just some of the things that we've had to go through. And so my wife's going to share her perspective on just her struggles and how she's continued to fight for freedom through basically all of 2020 and 2021 when we had our new little baby right here. So it's a great podcast, and I encourage you to listen or watch all the way through. There's some really good stuff, especially right at the end. And remember to subscribe wherever you're listening from. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button so you can continue to see what the content we put out. So anyway, without further ado, here is Finding Freedom with Sabrina Woods. New parent.
But I'm not really a new parent. You say that I am, but I'm really not. Is it a new baby? Yeah, it's a new baby. Different human. But I'm not really a new parent. Like, I know how to fundamentally take care of a child.
Yeah. And he's like checking everything out.
He is. He's very aware.
Yeah. He
was asleep for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
What'd you see? I mean, it's definitely been difficult. You know, the dynamics, even though we have an older child, he's not near as interested as he was when Elizabeth was born. He was definitely younger and more willing to... Not saying that he's not willing to help, but Adam has been extremely helpful. but as far as like, he's helpful to me, but he's not helpful as far as like picking Henry up and doing things with him, like keeping him entertained. Because he used to do that a lot with Elizabeth. He would keep her entertained. Henry's just really attached to me. He didn't really like many other people other than me. He likes you.
Does he?
You don't think he does.
Are we talking about Adam or are we talking about Henry?
Henry.
Oh, okay. Adam doesn't like me sometimes because whenever I take his games away, you know, right? That's the struggle with being a parent.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Especially with a 7, almost 8-year-old.
He's smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, smiling. Hey. Today he has somewhat found his own voice, so he might interject that. It's difficult finding the time to manage everyone. You know, I exclusively breastfeed, so that kind of can be it can kind of be an inconvenience because then I'm the only person who can feed the baby. Mm-hmm. You know, so that just makes it difficult as far as anything else. Because I exclusively breastfeed, then that, you know, means that I'm sitting a lot and I can't meet the needs of our other children as much as I would like. So that has been difficult, you know, because if I then unlatch him and then put the baby down and then help the other children, then, you know, ensue screaming and chaos. But Adam has been really helpful as far as... you know, getting juice for Elizabeth, getting snacks, or it's really inconvenient whenever she poops, whenever I'm feeding him. That seems to be the thing that happens. As soon as I sit down, that's when she goes and takes a dump.
Yep.
And I have to go wipe her butt. Cause I'm not allowing Adam to do that. No.
No, that I could see that being a disaster. Yeah.
He can't
that
even
hasn't happened
wipe,
yet.
But. He can't even wipe his own butt. Mm-mm. So, yeah.
I mean, he can't. Okay, so he can.
He
yes,
can. But, it's just not efficient.
But sometimes I think he struggles a little bit.
It's not efficient by any means.
Well, what could you say? What kind of advice could you offer to new moms and moms just that have been kind of struggling this year, I guess? I know that's a loaded question, right? Because it's like, man, it's just been one thing after the other.
So the only thing that I know that has worked for me is just grace. Grace for myself, grace for the process, and grace in the moment. Because, you know, our kids are not going to be this little for long. This isn't always going to be the struggle. Trying to find normalcy is not always going to be where we are. Like, we're going to find a groove. We're going to find a rhythm. And so it's just like, you just have to take each day as it is. You just look at, you wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, what can I be today? What can I get done today? Whose needs all can be met within the day? And I mean, as moms, we want to be able to meet everyone's needs all the time, perfectly, without flaws or fault. And that's just not realistic.
Mm-mm. Why do you think moms specifically struggle with that? I mean, I'm not a mom, so I don't really know. Just, you know, like thinking you're not good enough and just thinking like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I can't handle this. I'm not a good mom. You know, I guess that's a word. I was trying to think of the word for it, but I couldn't really.
Mom guilt. Why do we struggle with mom guilt? Because we want to be perfect. We want to do all the right things and say all the right things. And I mean, perfectionism obviously is something that's unachievable in any facet of life. But as far as mothers, we don't want to screw up our kids. We are the people who educate our children first. We're the people who spend the most time with our kids. That's not saying that dads are incapable of that. And I'm sure that there are.
I think it's just different.
It might just be because there's a deeper connection with mothers and their children. Because there's this maternal bond. We carried them for 10 months. We birthed them. We connect with them in a different way than what dads do. You know, and because mom guilt is real. Like, I think that it finally starts to dissipate somewhat, especially so frequently, like within 2 years. Because I know that like the guilt went away with Elizabeth by like 1.5, 2 years, because I felt like, okay, she doesn't need me as much and I can meet other people's needs and meet my own needs and expectations. I think it's just being pulled in all different directions and not feeling capable of meeting everyone's needs, and the desire to meet them is there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's society. You know, society looks at mothers as, well, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you have to be making organic, full-cooked meals 3 times a day, you know, perky and face done and hair done and fully dressed. And, you know, like society, that's what is looked at as like what a real mother could be. And if you're staying at home, that's what you should do. But if you're a working mom, then you need to be doing things on the weekend. Like, there's just a double standard. There's a double standard. You know, and then they're like, oh, well, don't you get, you know, what am I trying to say here? Like, if you're a working mom, then you don't spend enough time with your kids. And if you're a stay-at-home mom, then you spend too much time with your kids. You know, there's always something that is scrutinized against mothers.
Yeah, the societal expectation is always there. Mm-hmm. And it's never achievable.
Right. So, I mean, for me, going from 1 to 2 kids was difficult for me only because we had Adam for so long without any other kids.
I can agree with that. That was the truth for me as well.
It wasn't that she was difficult, because she definitely was our unicorn baby. And unicorn baby meaning like her delivery was easy. Her birth was quick. Coming home with her, it was like the typical newborn stuff. Then we just kind of fell into a rhythm and it flowed, and like it almost felt like butter. Like everything was just easy. And then she hit 7, 8, 9 months in that 2 to 3 month period where she was cutting all those teeth. Mm-hmm. And we didn't sleep for a good while. And then we moved her out of our room, and then she cut those teeth and life was, she was literally our unicorn baby. Like, she was happy all the time. She very seldom ever fussed. She ate well. She slept well. And so it was just kind of like going from Adam being a stage five clinger like Henry is. It was different though with Adam because it was only Adam. It didn't matter if he was clingy. I could take him to the bathroom with me, or I can cook while I'm holding him and no one else needs me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having basically another Adam intensified while having two other children, that's really difficult.
Stage five clinger.
Yeah.
It made me think of hurricanes because I think we're all just in hurricane mood. Category five, you know, it's like comparative level of storm right there. Like, oh my gosh, you know, that's the clinging level.
Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth wasn't clingy. She didn't let us wear her for very long. She hated being worn. She liked to be swaddled, but she liked her independent time. She liked, you know, she liked sleeping and cuddling next to us. But then it was like when we moved her out, she was even happier. She's a very independent. So it's almost like she kind of set us up for failure. And so, you know, but we prepared for Henry to be a clingy baby, you know, like we got the baby wearing stuff, the swaddling stuff. But I think that just the struggles with the way that he was born, his tongue tie issues and all of that stuff play into how he is right now. And that's why we have struggled.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, going from one to two kids was difficult because I grieved the time. I grieved the time that I had to share with Adam and Elizabeth, splitting everything now. Like, it was really difficult for me because I was so used to what me and Adam had. It was easy. We would just get up and go and we'd do things and like we had our own groove. And, you know, I just didn't think that my heart could love another little human being the way that I loved only Adam. And then Elizabeth came along and she was just exactly what we needed. And, you know, adding Henry to the mix was definitely not part of our plan at all.
No, and especially in 2020.
Yeah. Because we found out we were pregnant for Henry in March. And that was like right when COVID started to come into play. March, April.
Yeah.
April, May. That's
I mean, we got pregnant in February, so.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
What, it was January?
No, we conceived in March.
Oh.
Or like end of February, early March. But then I had found out at the end, I tested early, but I was late.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember that. I was just trying to get my times together, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, it's definitely been a struggle going from two to three and, you know, and being cooped up in the house with COVID going on has just been real tough.
I'm not so worried about the virus. I just don't want to be sick. I just don't like getting sick.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Like, I'm not afraid of it, of the virus itself, because, I mean, you had it, and yeah, it was a little scary when it got to its worst point for you, but overall, you did fine. Like, your symptoms were manageable, and you were still kind of eating and drinking for the most part, and it's just really that your body needed rest and recovery. And so once, you know, once that happened, then you were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you've had residual side effects from having COVID. You said that your lung capacity hasn't been what you remember it to be prior to being sick. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't want to be sick with three kids. Like, I don't want my kids to get sick. I don't want to have to handle that kind of stuff. And what if I'm the only one that gets it? What if you and me get it? What if you get it again and I get it? And then how are we to care for our three kids while being sick? Like that, I just don't want that. That's all.
How, I mean, I know, you know, you and I have talked about this, but whenever I had COVID, how did you cope with that?
I was stressed. I mean, obviously I was stressed because it was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
First, I was angry. And then it was just like, you had to move on, and you just had to take the situation and deal with what it was. And you just have to do the hard things. And it's like, okay, well, this is our life. This is the reality. This is where we are. And now I have to take care of these two kids, 20 something weeks pregnant, alone in the middle of all this, homeschooling as well. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I'd started potty training sister at that point. And also still caring for you in the middle of it, because I was still cooking meals for you and setting food out for you and cleaning up your plates. And I had set aside the bathroom for you. And so, I mean, I just kind of, you just have to push through it. It's either you let it consume you, or you just say, okay. And you put on your big girl underwear and you just do the hard things. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to change anything. And so the kids practically slept with me for 2 weeks straight. And there was one night, I think, that I got where they didn't sleep in the bed with me. And it's hard being that pregnant with two back kickers, two very rowdy children in the bed with you. But they missed you just as much as I missed you.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth definitely didn't understand why she couldn't see you. And that was the hardest thing for me, was seeing her struggle with not being able to be in contact with you, because at least for Adam, he knew dad's sick, you can't touch him.
Yeah, no, that was the hardest part for me, is being on the patio in the back and having to stay. I mean, it was way more than 6 feet away, right? So I was probably like 25 feet away.
Yeah.
But just in talking distance, you know, and at least that's better than nothing. But
well, and that one time, like, man, she threw a fit and I had to bring her in, and it was...
And then whenever it was at its worst, I mean, just walking from the music room up to the patio was out of breath almost.
It was difficult for me.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, the kids and I are night people. So, like, we were staying up late, and then I'd need to wake up early to make sure at least that you had coffee and food and water and things like that, because you just didn't keep that on hand inside. Mm-mm. Not in the beginning. And, I mean, you just didn't have that stuff, so...
Yeah, COVID's been tough.
But thankfully, I did not get it. Even though that there was exposure in the bathroom, I was still very careful. Like, I used different kinds of cleaning products, and I made sure that anything that I touched, I sprayed down, or I left it outside for an extended period of time. And I only went into your bathroom late after the kids were in bed, or when I wasn't going to be around them immediately and I could like clean myself up or whatever like that. So
yeah, COVID's been tough.
Was not fun. I had to miss our anatomy scan for Henry at that point. Thankfully we found out what he was at 15 weeks in a few days. I don't remember. But I didn't go for my 20 week exam. And in the middle of that, it wasn't long after you came back in the house that we decided to switch to midwifery care. So
right, which is a whole different topic.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, that was definitely influenced by, you know, COVID and the virus.
It was, yes.
Yeah,
that was the driving factor. Have I always wanted a home birth? Yes. Were we in places? I mean, I knew nothing about a home birth when we were pregnant with Adam. I did want one with Elizabeth, but our home was just really small. It was just not... The home that we used to live in was just very small. So it's like we just didn't have the... Not that we didn't have the space. I just feel like it was not big enough. It wasn't inadequate.
Yeah.
Here, there was plenty of space for the team that we had available for Henry. So...
You regret that at all?
What?
Having a home birth?
No. No, not at all.
No? The midwife was really, really awesome. I don't know. Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah, I'm still friends. I still text Mikhail all the time. I texted her yesterday.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those interesting things. And I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know what the right word to say. I guess, you know, the funnest part for me was I got to make a video. I guess not fun, but most rewarding. You know, I got to actually record and do the whole thing. So I got a lot out of that, knowing that I did that for you, and that's something that you'll be able to have forever, you know. Just to remember.
Even though I had three double chins. Yes.
Yeah. We gotta work on those double chins. Yeah, that's been hard too with COVID too, with the just weight and food and.
Yeah, what else is there to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot. Cook and soothe and everything, right? I mean, it's no different than Henry, right?
I feel like I gain more weight when I'm a nursing mom versus when I'm a pregnant person. Because I look back at photographs of myself when I was nursing Elizabeth and even Adam. I'm definitely heavier in any of those photographs. Mm. So.
Well, the whole thing of this is finding freedom, right? So, you know, my biggest thing for today is how can you encourage other moms to find freedom in their situations? You know, and there's a lot of different situations. You can't generalize for everything, but are there any words of encouragement that you can give for moms specifically, just who need a little bit of encouragement?
I would say first that you need to find people who are going to be in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to not necessarily say village, but really just find those quality women who are going to come alongside you and give you space to vent, give you advice, come hold your baby so that you can take a quick shower. That's important. Try and find those people. And if you can't find one, you can call me because I can do my best to try and be one of those. It's definitely difficult to... I was texting one of my friends today. She just had her twins. And it's like, I just want to be there to help her, but I can't. Because my baby is just a few months out from the age of her babies. So, you know, and me bringing my baby and holding your babies and... There's only so many arms I have. So, you know, I can be a listening ear and I can make you a delicious dessert that will make you fat and sassy.
Right. But that's what you have to offer, you know, but I mean, I think the message that you're trying to say is just, you know, finding those people that are going to actually be there, you know, and not those ones that are just going to say that they're going to be there, but they're really not.
That's right. And then I would say, that you would need to not be so hard on yourself, that this is only a season and that sooner than later, the small babies that you're holding are going to be crawling around you, eating some odd dirt off the floor, and you're going to be picking them up and life is going to look totally different 6 weeks from now. You know, so don't be so hard on yourself. Don't limit yourself to that. This is as good as it's going to get because it's not. And just look forward to the future and to breathe through the moments that you have today. Because while today is really hard, it's not always going to be there.
Mm-mm.
And have grace for yourself in the moment. Because, you know, I may not say the right things to Adam or meet Elizabeth's needs every moment of every part of the day. But they are clothed for most of the time.
That's arguable.
They are fed, they are happy, and all of their fundamental needs are being met, and everything else in between is just it'll work itself out.
Yeah,
because I mean, Henry's 3 months old now and he's starting to notice them more, and Elizabeth is sort of taking more interest a little bit.
I mean, she held him for like 30 seconds today, so that's
man, 30 seconds, that's 20 more than it was, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
I think that once he starts crawling and he's more mobile, that they're definitely gonna find each other, because right now it's just kind of like it's me and Henry.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to clarify for those listening, they do have clothes, but they just like to go around in their underwear most days.
Yeah.
I think it's more Adam than anything. Like, he just, oh, yeah, I forgot to go put a t-shirt on or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody here. I mean, it's just us, so.
We live way out in the country, yeah, I don't really stress about it. And it's mm-hmm. less that I have to wash.
I mean, and that's not every day, right?
No, we have done better about, especially Adam, being clothed every day. He's almost 8.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he needs to be...
Yeah, we actually made this really cool chart, and he's been really connecting with it. So one there is to get dressed in the morning,
yeah,
every day, and he's been doing pretty good with it. We've only had to remind him a few times, but it's, you know, it's something. Yeah, he is getting older, and obviously, whenever your kids get to that age where it's like, you know, this is a little bit, you know, you need to start getting some good habits here. You know, so that's exactly where he's at.
Yeah, because Elizabeth doesn't necessarily notice him, or that he's only in his underwear. Like, she doesn't notice those things, but it's not going to be long before she does notice those things. And I would definitely prefer to him be in the habit of respecting his body and protecting it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you have to offer new moms or moms just overcoming the struggles of being a new parent, whether you know, it's your first or your third or whatever?
When you say new parent, for me, like, is it new for me because it's a different kid and it's way different than... Yeah, don't compare your kids, because none of them are the same.
Mm-mm. No, I can agree with that. They're not the same. No.
Every pregnancy was different. Every delivery was different. Every newborn stage was different. Sure, do they have the, like, typical standard baby things that they do that are all the same? Yeah. But otherwise, they're all very different. So don't compare your kids, and... just breathe through it. And, you know, it's okay for you to set your baby down and to walk away. Don't leave them there. Come back. But it's okay to go and take a moment for yourself so that you can collect yourself, so that, you know, that you can collect yourself. It's important for you to be in a mentally sound headspace.
Yeah.
And if you... can't handle the baby screaming, but you can't fix it neither, because babies cry and that's how they communicate, then it's okay to say, okay, I'm going to put you down here in this safe location and everyone else is fine, and I'm going to go and get some fresh air for, you know, 10-15 seconds or a solid minute, whatever that looks like, so that you can collect yourself, and then you walk back in there ready to handle and hopefully comfort the child.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That also, know that, like, parenting is going to probably be the hardest thing that you ever do. You're not raising children. You are raising men and women to be well-rounded
individuals.
And, you know, we're going through some things with Adam, and it's not about what he's doing, it's about the character behind it. And so you have to think about, how do you want to leave your children so that the world can become a better place? How do you want to raise them? What is it that you want to teach them? You know, I'm not raising children. I am growing people's husbands and wife. I'm educating those people. I'm not educating a child, you know, because we will spend majority of our life being an adult, not a child. And mm-hmm. So don't sweat the small things. Don't cry over spilled milk, and be intentional, even if it's hard.
I like it. It's good stuff. Thanks for doing this.
Sure.
Did you have a good time? Sort of.
Should have had a mimosa in my hand, but that's okay.
If only.
Yeah, we don't have any champagne, or we have orange juice. We always have orange juice on hand, but we don't have any champagne.
Yeah, we go through so much orange juice here. It's crazy. Like, a lot. But anyway, No, I appreciate you doing this, and this is good. So for those of you moms who are listening, I hope that you got something out of this, and, or just people in general. You know, it's definitely been, you know, I've been here to witness it also, and I'm also part of this. It's not like I'm a complete bystander, so.
Total bystander.
Right, I'm completely,
you know, just stand in the corner.
I just stand in the corner, don't do anything, right?
No.
I mean, it's definitely been a tough challenge, you know, so from the dad's perspective, you know, it's also, you know, it's just hard, you know, and because she's breastfeeding, it's really difficult because it's not like I can, you know, do that as well. So,
no,
you know, it makes it a little bit harder than, you know, bottle fed baby or whatever. But it's, I think, you know, it's just like been a real tough year with two hurricanes, and now we just went through the blizzard of 2021, and hopefully we don't have any more hurricanes, you know? So it's just a struggle, with all the outside stuff. And you know, we've known some people recently pass away from COVID, and it's just been really tough. You know, people that are, you know, not just random people, like people that are within the community, family, et cetera, you know, so it's just been it's been pretty difficult. So
the plate is definitely filled with lots of things.
So full right now.
I would say out of the most that we've been together for almost a decade, and I would say that that 2020
and then up into this year too
have been probably our hardest year.
Yeah,
just with the things surrounding us, maybe not so much like within our marriage or relationally with each other, but I would say that just like with life in general, that these were the hardest years. I mean, being pregnant, evacuating twice, praying to God that I was going to have a house to come back to even have my baby.
Right.
That was stressful. And so, you know, fully having to rely on you to secure the home and then having to stay in completely different states, my family not around me. We had friends evacuate close to us. That was for Laura. And they came to meet us in Mississippi, like literally the morning. I think that they came like the morning that Laura hit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was
or the day before. I don't remember, but these have definitely been our hardest years. But I can also attest that they have been the years that we have worked so hard for, because, I mean, everything that I did with my small business and everything that you've done with your business now has led us into this home and to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And so while they are the hardest, I think that they have been the fullest. And if we can get through that, then we can get through anything. Even the snoring baby.
Yeah, I mean, he's enjoyed this, right? I mean, he was a little fussy at the beginning, but it's not too bad. So anyway, I hope that you've gotten a lot out of this, and please remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button, and we'll be putting out some more of these. Obviously, with a new baby, it's been difficult to be consistent, but you know, I mean, you just do the best that you can and you have fun with it. And sometimes that's all you can do in life. So anyway, remember to subscribe and definitely catch us on the next one.